Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a fun little question out there if you want to jump in on that. What, if any, sport in the Olympics do you think you could compete in if you were given 5 years to train? We've already got some comments on that. We'll get to that here after this next thing. But I do want to remind you that Sal Capaccio takes you behind the scenes during Bills training camp with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on the WGR's Facebook page. Driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Now, we'll go back to yesterday as Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley met with the media before practice.
Morning, guys. Excited to be here. Any questions you got? Let's get her going.
How have you attacked the new rules? Like, wait, go back to when you knew what was happening back at the owners' meetings in March, through offseason, through now. Like, what's that planning been like to attack it?
I think that's an interesting choice of a words, attack. There's so much humility that's got to be baked into this deal because no one's ever done it. So I know it's similar to the XFL, but even some of the rule changes that are different between what we're getting ready to do and what the XFL did makes for new wrinkles too. So even watching that film, while helpful, it's not going to be exactly the same. So a bunch of research, a bunch of brainstorming. The spring was very helpful working through some things and incorporating the guys in the room. The players are probably underestimated a lot of times for how much football they know, how smart they are, how creative they are. So we had times during the spring when we said, hey, what do you guys see in here? What do you think? So experimenting in the spring and really trying to learn and see where the issues are and see how we can capitalize both ways.
Matthew, as a coach, and how much does this reinvigorate you? Because you've got to learn something all over again and you get to teach it up. As a coach, how much fun, as much anxiety-inducing it might
Yeah.
From a coaching standpoint,
you know what I'm getting at. Sure. I definitely know what you're getting at. And from my side of the table, it is more anxiety than it is excitement, just because there is no test track. So it can't be, well, hey, when I was back at Eastern Illinois in 2009, we did this thing that I think kind of worked. There's just nobody's ever done anything like it. So special teams coaches, just by nature, are always thinking of worst case scenario. And the guys give me a hard time, like, hey, be ready for this thing. Like, coach, that hasn't happened in 3 years. Well, now we're in uncharted territory. So going through your Rolodex, okay, if this, then that, that right now doesn't even exist other than what you learned in practice.
And Matthew, for your nine guys on the return line,
yes.
What's going to be their cue since the ball's going to be behind?
Yep, great question. It will vary. So there'll be some guys that will need to track it, and they'll use the returner or the ball hitting the ground to start the play. There'll also be guys that are locked in on the kickoff coverage to start the play. Because the area is so close, you can lose track of guys quicker. So with the way kick return used to be, you're getting a bunch of depth, you can let it sort out in front of you. That's no longer the case, so you do have to be, whether you use it as the way to start or not, you have to be super aware of who is my man, what does my man do right at the start of the play.
Man, when you, I know you're trying guys as the kickoff returner, but what do you think are going to be the skills compared to what the old returners used to do?
Sure.
Is it going to be a different skill set you're going to need now?
As a kind of a general thought, I think there's a good chance that kick returners are going to look more like punt returners. So maybe a punt returner in the past that was a punt returner only, who was either not comfortable on kick return or not as good on kick return, I think those type of players have more of a chance of being successful with the new rules on kick return.
Why is that? What do you think? What makes them have a better chance at this?
Yep, it's less high-speed collisions. It's more potentially lateral movement and finding a hole. It potentially looks more like a offense defensive play or even like a punt return as opposed to kick return setting a course, staying on that course, maybe one move and hit it. There's potentially more wrinkles and with less space with the new rule.
The NFL has a history of tweaking and tweaking rules. This is about as substantial as it gets. Did you ever, I don't know, with other special teams coaches around the league, maybe off season, talk to people about what they're thinking before you really dig into it?
Yes and no. Guys around the league that I'm close to, we would talk probably in generalities because it is so new. You don't want to, if you think you figured something out, you don't, especially if you're playing that guy. So there was a lot of collaboration getting to the point of where the rule is now with all 32 special teams coordinators. But as far as, hey, what are you seeing? What's your plan? What are you going to do? As you can imagine, there's a lot less of that.
What did you like about Browning State on college and how did he punt the other day?
One of the coolest things about Jack is his mechanics when he catches the ball. So his get-off time is naturally very fast. So that was true in college. That was true when he punted 2 days ago. Very consistent mechanics when it comes to catching and setting his mold, and his leg strength is there obviously. But when it comes to tweaking get off time, sometimes that's super hard, especially with a young guy. So the fact that he already has that's a big help.
Did he hold in college?
He was the place kicker. He used to hold when he wasn't, and then he was their backup holder, so in practices he continued to hold even when he was the kicker.
What have you seen? That's obviously a key part if he's going to win that job. What have you seen there?
Real good. He's got good hands. It's a matter of, once you're working with a new kicker, finding out what's that kicker like, what kind of lean does that kicker like. So there is a learning curve, but he's got great hands and he has game experience as a holder.
What have you seen from Tyler? He had perhaps
I think both from a technique standpoint and also just from a sports psychology developing as a man, and this is true for all of us, whether we want to admit it, you end up learning more in adversity. When things are going good, hey, great, let's just keep doing the same thing, and that's not always going to yield good results. So having gone through that adversity last year, I was able to watch him during the off season when we interacted, during the springtime when we interacted, and coming into camp now, both his mindset and his technique, I believe he's made improvements, because there's nobody on the planet that wants Tyler Bass to make every kick more than Tyler Bass. So he's locked in and excited about showing that. Yeah, I think, again, you don't wish it on anybody to go through the adversity, but the adversity he had to go through at the end of the season, and just realizing, okay, who are the people that are for me because they're for me, whether a kick goes in or not, and who are the people that I have to realize see me as a an entertainment on the field, and I got to potentially block out that noise and really dial into what am I trying to do and who are the people that are helping me do that.
Coach, who do you see as your main punt returners vying for a competition?
There's a lot of good catchers back there. Day-Day had a good game, a good practice a couple days ago. KJ's doing a good job. Khalil is catching every once in a while, and a lot of that'll depend on his role on the offense. But there's other young guys, new guys that are getting work after practice, and Andy Isabella has caught it in the spring, and even just 2 days ago, our first live leg, as good as I've seen it, him catch it since he's been here. So a lot of good choices catching punts back there.
Matt, to your point about what you're talking about with other special teams coordinators, because of how new this rule is there an unprecedented level of
I wouldn't call it unprecedented. That's always kind of the nature of it. So I wouldn't call it unprecedented. It's just everybody has way more questions than you would during a normal off season. So finding out who you can talk to and get a little information, potentially college coaches that have been in the league, guys that are maybe out of a job that you can bounce things off of. So I wouldn't call it unprecedented. It's just more obvious because of the new rules.
Is there going to be more about to answer those questions then because of the situation?
No. I think you're always a little bit guarded. So you're just trying to figure out, how can we share enough information that it's kind of confirming some things that we both already knew, as opposed to trying to break new ground if you are having one of those discussions.
How much do you think there's going to be that cat and mouse game in the preseason? How much do you want to show in preseason?
Great question. Because traditionally in the preseason, you really don't show anything. That's true offense, defense, and special teams. So there's a good chance that the preseason will look different than the regular season when it comes to the new kickoff rule. Because even if you look at last year with the fair catch, well, in the preseason, you're not going to fair catch a ton because you want to see guys return. And on the other side, you want to see guys make tackles. So in the preseason, you're willing to be probably more open to letting balls get returned and wanting returnable balls, and that may not be the case in the regular season.
Do you think you're going to use that? The special teams coordinators are going to use the preseason for more experimentation.
Potentially more experimentation, but you also got to be careful what you're showing. So everybody's going to be on pins and needles watching those first preseason games because maybe there's a team that's doing something that like, holy cow, okay, yeah, we got to start messing around with that. And it may just be confirming, okay, we thought that was going to look like that too. But even though preseason will be different from regular season, everybody's going to be glued to their TV watching, okay, what are guys doing? What's it look like?
A while back, a couple months ago, there was a lot made about kickers possibly being involved as tacklers. So how do you do that? Do you think there's too much made of it? Is that something you're concerned about?
I think that is something that exists with the new rule, probably mostly because there's a great chance to get to the second level by returners. But the stats that were used were from that XFL film, and the one big difference in the XFL, it was 10-on-10 and all singles. So you immediately go down to it now being returner versus kicker. So as a kickoff team with this new rule, you either are using a cover guy to kick, and that's pluses and minuses, or you're figuring out how to protect your kicker. No one is going into it saying, I think T. Bass is going to be our leading tackler. That's bad business right there. So you'll have to figure out one or the other depending on who's kicking the ball for you.
Because it's such a short kick, would you consider using somebody else who could be a tackler?
You could, and it's only a short kick because you're trying to get it just past the 20.
Right.
But you may not necessarily just want to kick it to the 20 because they still have to run farther if they catch it at the 1. And then depending on how good that cover guy is, that positional player that's kicking, he may have less choices with what he can do with the ball. So you're potentially sacrificing that where you'd gain that from your kicker.
This is
my philosophy. I think it's always important to get their insight. Number one, phenomenal knowledge in the room. But number two, it encourages buy-in. So now You know, we're doing something that they kind of collaborated with, and they were in the process of learning it as we were learning it. And it forces all those guys to learn the rules quicker. Okay, if coach is asking me what my ideas are here, I have to know what are the alignment rules? What can I, you know, what can I take advantage of? So I think that that was a big part of what we did in the spring. And it also encouraged, and this was one of the biggest lessons I learned last year, it doesn't matter how different, for us, the roster is different this year. And so it's easy to say, okay, new year, new kickoff rule. It feels more like starting from scratch a little bit. It should be like that every year. So even if you have a lot of the same guys coming back, new year, new start. How are guys fitting in? How are they working together? How are we communicating and collaborating? But every year, no matter what your roster looks like, you're starting over in some aspects.
Do you believe there's some excitement with these players learning something new? I mean, some of these special teamers have been special teamers for a long time. Some of them are rookies. But do you feel like they're a little bit reinvigorated to try something new and be able to maybe have a huge impact on the game this first season?
Yes. They're also have the same nerves of what's it going to look like? How's it going to turn out? What's going to be their part of it? So I think a lot of that'll come once we start getting in games and really seeing what other teams are doing, what kind of balls that you're able to return. So I think that'll come with it, with us as coaches and players, and same with the fans as they start to watch it and learn it. And, okay, holy cow, this is – I'm not going up and refilling my popcorn. I got to see what happens on this play.
Going off of that, how much have you been able to enjoy it from a problem-solving standpoint?
I remind myself that, hey, I'm a problem solver. I like solving problems. And then I go back to thinking, oh, no, what if this, what if that? So enjoy, just my personality in general is probably not my wheelhouse. But It is a challenge, and it will be weekly, because even it we were able to really, you'd kind of get a pattern of a certain team, a certain coordinator, a certain head coach. Well, we may be going through this year where you say, okay, we're ready to play this opponent. They've done this the last 3 weeks. In the old days, you say, okay, good. I know what to prep for. You don't know that they're not going to come out against you and it look completely different. So that type of problem solving will be in the forefront throughout the entirety of the season.
That was Buffalo Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley. That was from yesterday before practice. We just want to get it to you in case you did not hear it over the weekend. We're going to take a quick timeout. We've got some fun responses on the, I guess, question of the day, which is, if any sport in the Olympics do you think you could do with 5 years of training? We'll get some of those responses after a quick timeout. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
Lona Ma. She's going to take on Lima with that piston-like fend. Lima's coming back for the second grab, but Ma just fends her off once more.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ilona Ma there of U.S. Women's Rugby. The Olympics are, of course, going on. Pretty much nonstop coverage at this point over in Paris, France. I've been able to catch up a little bit on it. I'm having a tough time kind of getting to it during the mornings. I'm usually having to play catch-up later on in the night when, like, you're getting, like, the here's the highlights that you missed today. All right, and then real quick, here's, like, something we've got going on today. It's like a final.
This Ilona Ma, though, she runs like Derrick Henry.
Like, oh, yeah.
She just...
Well, the commentator was saying, like, you know, with the piston legs, I could kind of visualize him, like, well, she's angry at the ground.
There's another highlight of her from a different game where she, like, stiff-armed someone, like how Derrick Henry stiff-armed Josh Norman.
Fantastic.
It was just, whoop, get fantastic. On the ground.
I saw the video on Twitter over the weekend. I'm like, oh, yeah, uh-huh. That's a football trial
That's
happening.
That's something I could not do. I said in your tweet, I would be able to play in all of them. Rugby is not one of them.
So on that, what, if any, sport do you think you can compete in the Olympics if given 5 years to train? The only reason we're going with 5 years, that was kind of, Josh, that was sort of your kind of parameters there. So time now to get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. My brother tweets in, somewhat as a joke, I believe, although knowing him, it may not be, basketball.
I believe it.
This is a man that did not even play in high school. He did not even play in high school.
No, he's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. He can do it. I don't agree with that. He's not good.
Okay, are we talking? This is the other thing I think we should add to this. Well, I guess it's a little too late now. But
I'm not asking you for you to medal. You need to make the team, though.
Well, what team are we making? The team of the country we are in?
Oh.
Or the team of a different country?
Because if you personally are able to do so, I mean, I know somebody in the Olympics this year who's swimming for Puerto Rico.
Oh.
Her name's Kristen Romano. If you're able to do so, wonderful, fantastic.
Awesome.
But
that's cool, though.
But if you got to make the U.S. team, we're making the U.S. team here then.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I bet you I could, like, try out for, I don't know, like, South Korea's hockey team.
Sure, but like you're not South Korean. You're not getting on.
That's the problem. Okay, so in this parameters, I guess you'd have to say Team USA.
Yeah.
Unless you're someone out there that has dual citizenship or something like that. But
and then we're playing a game where you're like, no, I'm gonna cheat the system to get in
right.
just to show up, which I respect.
We've gotten a lot of good answers though, and I think these answers are right.
I think a lot of these answers are right because a lot of people are just like, no, we're going to go towards the shooting events. And that's where a lot of people, James tweets in shooting, Steve tweets in archery, Mega tweets in curling, the shooting sports. I think that's probably correct. I think that's where
except for skiing in the winter, the skiing shooting.
Yeah, we have to become the Finnish military in World War II.
Right.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Like those people, that's
insane.
Way, way, way too much for
me. Yeah, that is insane.
Like, It's the breathing, and it's the then you have to hit every target essentially. If you miss, you're gonna lose.
Yep.
And then you also have to get up and run on snow.
It's not happening.
No.
It's not happening.
No. How do you feel about table tennis?
I'm gonna get smoked. I've played table tennis before. I'm not good at it. Like, that's the thing is, like, I've played some of these events and I'm like, years of training aren't changing. Like, I'm bad at this.
No, I'm talking, when I'm saying years of training, these people train every single day. It's their life.
But remember, we've talked about it. The one fencing player, she had to have a full-time job. You have to train how they train. You're not getting just 5 years of like, now figure it out. Like, you train how they go.
True.
You're going to have a tough time. But that's where I think the shooting sports, I think there's an argument there. I think it still would be very difficult. I mean, these are precision, but I think there's an argument there. The other one being brought up a lot, curling. Curling is a fun one. I do know that, obviously, that's an interesting sport. I do know, I think Sneaky Joe and his brother Lou have, like, done, like, curling events or at least, like, have gone out and done it. So I think there's an absolute way that you can do so, but that is also a very precision sport, but it's very precision based. It is very, very difficult. And again, like, you have to make these teams, and there are people out there like you're training for 5 years. That is like maybe half the time some of these Olympians are doing so. I was not an Olympic athlete by any means. I was almost a Division I swimmer, and I swam for 12 years of my life. I like did extra things as well, such as strength training, and I had my own like separate coach there. I did double practices with both my high school and my club, and the highest I got was Division II. Not even close. Five years is realistically a very limited amount of time compared to someone who probably spent most of their life. Like, here, perfect example, gymnastics. No one's saying okay. that, and no one thinks it.
No.
But
no,
when yeah. are the, when are some of these athletes starting? When, like, they're 4 years old.
Yeah, they're, like, being, like, hey, you can't walk yet, but we're going to put you on the balance beam and see how you do. Like,
and they do well. But it's part of this, too. The Simone Biles documentary on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she touches on it, but it's brought up the mental health with Olympians where, like, they reach the pinnacle of their lives at, like, 20 years old, and there's a lot of post-Olympic depression. I think it's a lot of it is because most of these athletes, this is their life. You know, I mentioned for me, like just in my own personal life, mm-hmm. I swam 6 days a week. I practiced all but Sunday. And right. then when I got into high school, I was doing double practices during the winter, going to a high school practice and then afterwards going to a club practice. Like, it was my whole life. And the highest I got was Division II. These Jeez. Athletes are, like, you know, traveling the world, doing it. I mean, it is more of their life. They are sacrificing more. And that's where I'm just like, 5 years, I don't know, man. It's not enough time.
But here's, like, some of them, like, I want to preface all this also by saying I'm not discrediting any of these athletes. This is like they are the best in what they do in the world. I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm just looking at like if you give yourself enough training, what would you be able to accomplish, if anything at all? And another thing that just popped up on like I'm looking at the list of sports at this Olympics. Weightlifting. 5 years of weightlift training. How are you going to do? Because that's different. Because I brought up running before. If you just run a lot, you could probably eventually get there.
You might be like a marathon runner, though. Like I think that's the right. thing. Is like you're getting people. But, and I think weightlifting is the same thing of just people that like have a natural like bonus of like I put on muscle easier. Like mm-hmm. I don't have to do all. Like I mean, I'm here. I'm 6'3" and some change. Like I'm a tall guy, but I am lanky. Like I cannot put on muscle. So like even if I did 5 years of training, I probably just end up looking toned. Like I probably look good, but like in terms of like Olympic weightlifting, probably not. Like I'm probably going to be really, really bad. Our own Lucas Buckley, he tweeted in, definitely handball. It's so simple. That might be one as well.
Handball, like I was trying to explain to you in the break, and this is a very loose rendition of it. It's a mix of basketball and soccer.
Yeah.
You're on like a basketball court. There's goals that are smaller than soccer goals. Like have you ever seen futsal, which is the indoor soccer?
Yeah, yeah.
That's about the size of a handball goal. There's a goalie, there's people that shoot, there's people that defend, but you have to like you can only take 3 steps, I think, without like
Yeah, I played in gym class. 3 steps gotta pass. Yeah, yeah. 3 steps gotta pass. Yep. All right, now you can shoot.
Yeah. And
yep.
That one I feel like you could do that. Because it's not you're not running, you're not. The only thing you really need to be able to do is throw the ball hard, and like accurately. But that one I think makes sense.
Kenny tweets in handball goalie. They have like a 35% save percentage. Give me 5 years just to get the positioning down. I'll throw hands 35%. And legs around and try to stop it. That's
35.
But there we go. Kenny gets it. Like I'm gonna crunch the numbers. They've got a 35 save percentage. Give me 5 years. I'll get the positioning down. I'll get conditioning so I'm not tired, and I can hit that.
The one thing that's really crazy about handball,
that is a tough save percentage.
35% is bad.
That is tough.
Like that's crazy. But that's okay. Like I'm looking at some of the handball games that have already happened, and oh my goodness.
Let's go, Buffalo tweets in rowing. I think that's an insane answer.
That is a crazy answer.
Watch like any rowing athlete; they look like they're going to die when they're done. That is an exhausting event.
Yeah. No. So looking at some of these handball scores: 36-31, 30-29, 35-32. Like, yeah, handball I think is the right answer if we're looking at like an actual physical active sport, because shooting. Well, yes, you have to control your breathing and things like that. Shooting in the Summer Olympics, you're not really moving. You're just kind of standing
there. It's stationary.
Yeah. And same, and like curling, like, sure, it's physical, but it's more technique than anything. Handball, I feel like, is like the one like physical and technique sport where you have to try a little bit. But if you're letting in, if you can let in 32 goals a game and still win the game, sign me up.
You basically, it's like if you make like one or two saves.
Where can I try out?
Man, oh man. But then like we're going to find out like we'll go in there, learn the positioning, and they actually score 100% of the time.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, ooh, wait a second.
That's interesting about handball. If you ever like look it up like professionally, I remember when we played in gym class, we just used the volleyball and like had a good time.
Yeah.
In real handball, it's a much smaller ball and they have like this sticky stuff all over their hands and the ball. So much so that there is just a ball dedicated to getting the sticky stuff off of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get too much of it and you can't throw the ball.
Yep.
And that's, I guess, for like spin and power and stuff like that. But if that's the case, like...
I've gotten two people saying fencing, too.
Fencing?
That feels like we're walking into the unknown there.
I
watched fencing this morning, or it was just a highlight. How fast they're moving, how locked in you are. It's not like the movie fencing where you're standing back and it's a little like, you know, tic-tacs and like someone like just lunges forward once.
Right.
Like, they're up in each other's faces.
Oh, yeah. They get into it.
It's more grappling, or it has the look of almost like grappling rather than like fencing. I can't get there with that. Rowing, I can't get there.
No.
I think it's the shooting sports. I think you've got an argument for curling. Handball, we've maybe got an argument there.
I think
it's out. I mean, like, you know, track athlete, you're getting cooked, gone. Swimming, cooked, gone. Wrestling, why'd you show up? You're going to get destroyed, probably break bones. Basketball, you're not in the NBA. Why are we here? Why are we talking? Move on.
By the way, there's a Chinese skateboarder competing.
Okay.
She is 11 years old.
Okay. I don't know her name, but I did see that where I'm like, okay, all right, that's interesting. Well, I mean, but that's, you see with gymnasts a lot of the time too. Like, that's the same thing is like, they come into their first Olympics at 15, 16 years old. There is a swimmer for Canada, McIntosh. I believe her first name is Summer McIntosh. She's 17. She won the silver medal in the 400 meter freestyle. She beat Katie Ledecky, I mean, who won the bronze with Ariana Titmus of Australia winning. I mean, she's 17 years old. And, you know, there are some sports, where like, I don't want to say you peak when you're younger, but I do know for women swimming specifically, oftentimes that is the case where, you know, 24, 25 years old, you're considered almost on the elderly side of the sport, where men can sometimes get to like the late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you saw it yesterday in the backstroke. Ryan Murphy, who I think is 27 years old, just did not look great. I mean, he makes it to the final tonight, but he did not look great in the 100-meter backstroke. But yeah.
By the way, I found out the fencer that won gold for Team USA. By the way, Team USA, to win gold, they won gold and silver because it was USA versus USA in the gold medal match.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Which is, that's cool. But the winner is a Kentucky med student, Lee Kiefer. I hope I'm saying her last name right. So, not a lawyer, but a medical student, which... probably just as impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, think of how much stuff you go through as a medical student, and you're also an Olympian. Like, hey, sorry, professor, I can't come to class today. I have to go train for the Olympics.
Well, that's some for especially on the women's side, because they typically do get there younger. There are female swimmers who are, you know, 16, 17 years old going to college.
Yep.
And, like, as a high school student, like, getting ready for the summer break, like, what are you going to do? It's like, oh, I'm going to Paris.
Oh, really? On a nice family vacation?
No, I'm going to the Olympics.
I'm going to be in the Olympics. Tune in on these days.
I will be there. But it's, some of these events are insane. Also, a bit of an update, not for the U.S. swimming, but for British swimmer Adam Peaty. He tested positive for COVID-19, was not feeling well. He won the silver medal in the 100 breast.
Wow.
So feeling under the weather, he goes out there and... gets the Olympic silver in the breaststroke. He also got that he got the gold in Rio and the gold in Tokyo. And then this year gets the silver medal. So it's phenomenal. That's insane to be able to medal and be legitimately under the weather. Insane.
That's impressive. That's something I couldn't do.
Zach tweets in, mountain biking for sure.
Mountain biking.
Not a chance, man.
Biking videos? The trails they ride on.
Like, just not a chance. Like, and, like, they're, like, kind of jumping with the bike to, like, move. No, not a chance.
I can barely ride my bike down my street.
You're going to fall, break your kneecap, your career is over with, and it was, like, 30 seconds. Not a chance. It's not happening.
So, I know we already talked about basketball. What about 3-on-3 basketball?
That's a thing?
Yeah.
That's an event?
In the Olympics. Yep.
I feel like
there's basketball, and then there's 3-on-3 basketball.
I feel like you might be making that up.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not making that. In reality, they just will then pick the 3 best NBA players to go out there and do it.
True. But, hey, it is men. There are men's and women's.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought it was just the women's because I wasn't seeing the men pop up, but...
You're going to show up to that tryout. Everyone's going to look at you funny. It's going to be bad. You're going to leave in tears. And years of therapy to recover from that.
Listen, I'll feed LeBron. Just
right, like I will be the facilitator.
Get the ball to LeBron. It's all I can do. By the way, it's all I have to do.
Unbelievable for him specifically. We do got to take a quick time out here. But unbelievable for him to be 40 years old and like arguably still a top five player in the sport right now.
How bad are the Lakers
that like 40-year-old LeBron shows up on essentially an all-star team and is like significantly like clear of most of his teammates?
I mean, I have my own thoughts about LeBron. He frustrates me sometimes with his just
kind of the way he conducts himself a little bit.
Yeah, and like the whole like, oh, my son earned everything and then he just gets drafted to the Lakers. Like I have my own thoughts on that. I personally think Jordan's better in that debate.
There we go.
But what he's doing is incredibly impressive.
At 40 years old, to still be like arguably a top five player in the sport is absolutely unbelievable. Got to take a quick time out here if you want to join the show before we get you over to Sabres Live. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And I do want to remind you that Bills training camp, or our coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And buy your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. A little bit of an update before we get you out of here from Bills training camp over at St. John Fisher. It does seem to be just an overall pretty good day, but I am interested in seeing that Terrell Shavers had a pretty darn good day after Bills head coach Sean McDermott spoke about his consistency and how much, you know, they can rely on him to do so. It is interesting then that Shavers had a pretty darn good day. He's, I think, somebody that's going to make a roster for that sheer fact. The fact that he, you know, McDermott talks about his consistency and such and his work ethic, that is a way to make a football team. They're all talented, but if you've got the consistency and the work ethic, they will find a spot on the roster for you that is good character building, that is good, you know, team chemistry building, what have you. It does sound like it was a very good day, though, for the Bills offense as well. Also, another note, and somebody that I am interested to see in the preseason as well, Kyer Elam had another interception. I think this one was on one-on-ones. That's, I think, like 3 or 4 interceptions for him in camp already. He is somebody that came into camp. McDermott outright said it's a clean slate for him. He's got a new secondary coach working with the team. It does seem like John Butler and Kyer Elam just never got on the same page when it came to development and working out. And he is going to be somebody, if they can get a pretty solid role player out of Elam, that's pretty good. But I will say, Josh, he was somebody in his rookie year. He was playing, and he was playing well. It was more last year where it was just like, why hasn't he developed? What is going on? What is happening? Oh, and he's just not on the field anymore. You know, they go and trade for Rasul Douglas. He's great right away. So there was never any need for him to even play. But that is where the talks came from, like, all right, but you're having, you know, Christian Benford, who was a 6th-round pick in the same draft, play over you. What's going on? If they can get a pretty darn good player out of Kyer Elam, I think it's going to be a huge get for the Bills. Even I get he's a miss overall as a first round pick. You'd want a star out of that, but if he's solid and playable and good for them, I think it's a huge win.
Did you see the not altercation, but the thing between Mac Hollins and Kyer Elam?
I did want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah, so Mac Hollins, Sal Capaccio tweets this, Mac Hollins with the catch on a rollout from Josh Allen. After the play, he turns around and throws the ball at, I think, in parentheses, Kyer Elam, who is in coverage, a little brief gathering of the players.
The Bills have been missing a crazy person. I say that with all love. They have been missing somebody who is like a few screws loose. Mac Hollins is a fun character, and like Matt Beauvais as well tweets out, Mac Hollins brings so much juice. He just threw the ball at Kyer Elam to start a scuffle, and it felt 100% intended to get a reaction from the defense, because the minute the defense started coming back at him, he laughed and walked away.
Wow.
They have missed the unhinged element that I just don't think this team has had. I think they've been
Who's the last player they had that was unhinged like that?
Oh, man. I mean,
at times,
Tequila Spikes at times. I mean, but like, I guess they haven't had like that, like kind of like.
But at times, I mean, Allen is kind of the unhinged guy.
Yeah, but we're talking about a Mac Hollins guy who like is straight up like.
No, he's crazy.
He doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah,
he's coming out like a UFC or a WWE wrestler. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's a
lot
of fun.
And his hair. His hair. And it's not crazy in a bad way. It's crazy in a great way because it's fun. He's a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't eat soup. He doesn't like cats because...
What is it? He hasn't eaten, like, vegetables in, like, 5 years or something
years,
like that?
But 3 years. Yeah. Still.
Doesn't like cats. Fair. He thinks what? Like, little
he
cats
He thinks cats are soulless or something like that.
That's good. I like that. But, like, they've
but
missed...
Hair,
they've,
his hair
but
is
they've
the best
missed
part.
That character.
Yeah.
No, you know who's a fun character? Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver's wonderful. Yeah. He's great.
Dion.
Dion's a character. Too. But, like, those guys aren't, like, that unhinged element where, like, you're kind of, like, side-eyeing going, like, he's going to do or say something that's going to be, like, kind of wild. Like,
my favorite quote from Mac Hollins was something along the lines of, shoes are tools. You don't carry around a hammer because you might need a hammer.
It's incredible. That's just incredible.
Perfect.
That, like, there's nothing to that. It's like, he's technically right, I guess, but that's like, it's just okay.
He's very right in that sense. If you're calling it a hammer, like, sure, I'm not going to carry around a hammer because I might need to use it next Tuesday.
That's fair. That's going to do it for me and Josh. We'll be back on tomorrow, as will the Bills. They will, though, be off on Wednesday. But the Bills will have practice starting at 9:45 tomorrow morning. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live right here on a Monday. It is beautiful. Enjoy the rest of your day. You're listening to WGR.
What he's doing is incredibly impressive.
At 40 years old, to still be like arguably a top five player in the sport is absolutely unbelievable. Got to take a quick time out here if you want to join the show before we get you over to Sabres Live. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And I do want to remind you that Bills training camp, or our coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And buy your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. A little bit of an update before we get you out of here from Bills training camp over at St. John Fisher. It does seem to be just an overall pretty good day, but I am interested in seeing that Terrell Shavers had a pretty darn good day after Bills head coach Sean McDermott spoke about his consistency and how much, you know, they can rely on him to do so. It is interesting then that Shavers had a pretty darn good day. He is, I think, somebody that's going to make a roster for that sheer fact. The fact that he, you know, McDermott talks about his consistency and such and his work ethic, that is a way to make a football team. Is they're all talented, but if you've got the consistency and the work ethic, they will find a spot on the roster for you. That is good character building. That is good, you know, team chemistry building, what have you. It does sound like it was a very good day, though, for the Bills offense as well. Also, another note, and somebody that I am interested to see in the preseason as well, Kyer Elam had another interception. I think this one was on one-on-ones. That's, I think, like 3 or 4 interceptions for him in camp already. He is somebody that came into camp. McDermott outright said it's a clean slate for him. He's got a new secondary coach working with the team. It does seem like John Butler and Kyer Elam just never got on the same page when it came to development and working out. And he is going to be somebody, if they can get a pretty solid role player out of Elam, that's pretty good. But I will say, Josh, he was somebody in his rookie year. He was playing, and he was playing well. It was more last year where it was just like, why hasn't he developed? What is going on? What is happening? Oh, and he's just not on the field anymore. You know, they go and trade for Rasul Douglas. He's great right away. So there was never any need for him to even play. But that is where the talks came from, like, all right, but you're having, you know, Christian Benford, who was a 6th-round pick in the same draft, play over you. What's going on? If they can get a pretty darn good player out of Kyer Elam, I think it's going to be a huge get for the Bills. I get it, he's a miss overall as a first-round pick. You'd want a star out of that. But if he's solid and playable and good for them, I think it's a huge win.
Did you see the not altercation, but the thing between Mac Hollins and Kyer Elam?
I did want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah, so Mac Hollins, Sal Capaccio tweets this, Mac Hollins with the catch on a rollout from Josh Allen. After the play, he turns around and throws the ball at, I think, in parentheses, Kyer Elam, who is in coverage. A little brief gathering of the players.
The Bills have been missing a crazy person. I say that with all love. They have been missing somebody who
and
is
that's Mac Hollins.
Who is like a few screws loose. Mac Hollins is a fun character, And like Matt Beauvais as well tweets out, Matt Collins brings so much juice. He just threw the ball at Kyrie Elam to start a scuffle, and it felt 100% intended to get a reaction from the defense, because the minute the defense started coming back at him, he laughed and walked away.
Wow.
They have missed the unhinged element that I just don't think this team has had. I think they've been
Who's the last player they had that was unhinged like that?
Oh, man. I mean,
At times.
Tequila spikes at times. I mean, but like, I guess they haven't had like that, yeah. Like kind of like.
But at times, I mean, Allen is kind of the unhinged guy.
Yeah, but we're talking about a Matt Collins guy who like is straight up like.
No, he's crazy. He's crazy.
He doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah,
he's
coming
out like a UFC or a WWE wrestler. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's a
lot
of fun.
And his hair, and it's not crazy in a bad way. It's crazy in a great way because it's fun. He's a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't eat soup. He doesn't like cats because
what is it? He hasn't eaten like vegetables in like 5 years or something
years,
like that.
But
3 years.
Yeah, still
doesn't like cats. Fair. He thinks what like little
he
cats.
He thinks
can
cats
steal
are soulless or something like that.
That's good. I like that. But like they've
but his
missed.
Hair,
they've,
his hair
but
is
they've
the best
missed
part.
That character.
Yeah.
No, you know who's a fun character? Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's great. Dion's a character.
Too.
But like those guys aren't like that unhinged element where like you're kind of like side eyeing, going like he's gonna do or say something that's gonna be like kind of wild. Like,
my favorite quote from Matt Collins was something along the lines of, "Shoes are tools. You don't carry around a hammer because you might need a hammer."
It's incredible. That's just incredible.
Perfect.
Like, there's nothing to that. It's like he's technically right, I guess, but that's like it's just okay.
He's
I guess.
Very right in that sense. If you're calling it a hammer, like sure, I'm not going to carry around a hammer because I might need to use it next Tuesday.
That's fair. That's fair. That's going to do it for me and Josh. We'll be back on tomorrow, as will the Bills. They will, though, be off on Wednesday. The Bills will have practice starting at 9:45 tomorrow morning. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live, right here on a Monday. It is beautiful. Enjoy the rest of your day. You're listening to WGR.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.